بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: خير الصحابة أربعة، وخير السرايا 400، وخير الجيوش 4000، ولن يغلب 12000 من قلة. رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن. Just to recap, the chapter we are currently discussing is the preferability of not traveling alone, having some companion with you, and that when you travel in a group or a jamaat, appoint an amir over you. And obviously when it comes to imarat, then there has to be obedience for there to be khair and barakah in whatever you are doing. The last hadith in this chapter is the narration of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. In this, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions certain precepts to us, certain basic principles pertinent to the chapter. The first part of the hadith, khayru sahaba arba'a. Whilst we are told in previous hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-Raqib, when a person is alone, that is one shaitan. In other words, he is easily influenced by shaitan. He said, Ar-Raqiban shaitanan. Two people traveling, that also discouraged. He said, it is two shaitan. So we learn from that hadith that minimum, when we undertake a journey, expedition, going somewhere in the path of Allah, etc., even for worldly purposes, try and travel in a group, minimum three. However, we find in this hadith that what is preferable is four upwards. Now this is something that is logical. If there are four people traveling together, obviously there are certain needs that arise in a journey. For example, you're going to send two people to go and buy food from the marketplace to prepare a meal. Now if you are only three of you and two have to go, then one person is left alone. However, when it comes to the distribution of duties and necessities that occur in a journey, four and upwards, then two can do one task, there'll still be another two to do another task. At no time is anyone left completely alone. So that is a logical reasoning which we can utilize to understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged this. He said, خَيْرُ السَّحَابَةِ أَرْبَعَ. He said the best group or best companionship is when you are at least four. It doesn't mean four, it means at least four. So four and upwards. And then, like I said, certain precepts are mentioned in this hadith. He said, khayru saraya, the best expedition. Normally, saraya, sariya is an Arabic word that's used for an expedition of horsemen or archers. So he said the best is to have 400, 400. Then khairul jiyush, the word jaysh is an army. So obviously sahaba, they had to face wars, conflicts. They had to go onto the battlefield. So in that instance, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best army is 4,000. In other words, when you make an army, it should be 4,000 upwards. Khairul jiyush, 4,000. And then Allah's sunnat and a principle, لَيْ يُغْلَبْ 12000 مِنْ قِلَّةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if ever you are in a confrontation, in war against the enemy, and you number 12,000, in other words your army is 12,000, and then you still have to lose the battle, or you still have to lose the conflict, it can never be because of a shortage of numbers. The best, in other words, once you are 12,000 and above, you will never be defeated because of lack of numbers. If you are defeated, it will be other extenuating circumstances. For example, perhaps pride had entered, or arrogance, or you were not following the Shariat, not following Allah's command, not following the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Disobedience to the Amir, etc., etc. In other words, it may be some other cause or some other extenuating circumstance. It will never be because of a lack of numbers. And we find that this was something that Sahaba-i-Kiram would adhere to. There's one interesting incident. It's mentioned that at the Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Amir of the Jamaat in the jihad which was taking place against the Coptic Christians in Egypt. At that time he wrote an epistle to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the Amir in Medina Munawara, who was Amirul Mu'mineen, that we are 4,000 in number and we need reinforcements. So minimum army that will never be defeated because of numbers is 12,000. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time, in response, they were 4,000, he sent 4,004 sahaba. So 4,000 and another 4,004 becomes 8,004. But he cited this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيُغْلَبْ إِثْنَا عَشَرَ أَلْفْ مِنْ قِلَّةِ, that 12,000 will never be defeated because of a lack of numbers. Now, Umar didn't send another 8,000. He should have sent 8,000 for it to be 12,000. How is it that he only sent 4,004? He wrote an ajib epistle. He said, إِنِّي قَدْ أَمْدَدْتُكَ بِأَرْبَعَةِ آلَافِ, that, O Umar, I am sending in your assistance another 4,000. وَعَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ, and at the head of each of these 4,000, I have appointed 4 people, رَجُل, but each one of them يُعَدُّ بِأَلْف, each one is equivalent to 1,000. Each one is equivalent to 1,000. Among Sahaba also, there was this understanding, they had accepted that there were certain Sahaba in taqwa, in zuhud, in bravery, in valor, had reached this maqam and status that among Sahaba, each one would be counted as 1,000. Amongst them, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, Fazal bin Abbas, Zubair bin Awam, Ali bin Abi Talib, Miqdad bin Aswad, Amr bin Tamimi, Rafi' bin Umaira At-Ta'i, Muhammad bin Maslama, Maslama bin Mukhallad, Kharija bin Hudhafa, and others. In this instance, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, وَعَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ مِّنْهُمْ رَجُلْ يُعَدُّ أَلْفٍ, with each of these 4,000, I am sending one person. Each one is equivalent to 1,000. In this instance, it was Miqdad bin Aswad, Ubadah bin Samit, Maslama bin Mukhallad, and Kharija bin Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So 4,000, 4 each equal to 1,000, another 4,000, and Amr bin As's army radiallahu anhu was already 4,000. So that reaches 12,000. And this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was cited, لَيْ يُغْلَبْ إِثْنَا عَشَرَ أَلْفًا مِنْ قِلَّةِ, that an army of 12,000 will never be defeated because of a lack of numbers. Just to recap, the reason Imam Nawawi rahimullah has mentioned this particular hadith in this chapter, which has to do with the sunnah or the etiquettes or the adab of a journey, is the first part of the hadith, خَيْرُ الصَّحَابَةِ أَرْبَعَ. When you form a group going in some expedition or whatever, try and let it be 4 and above in numbers. بَابُ أَدَابِ السَّيْرِ وَالنُّزُولِ والمبيت والنوم في السفر واستحباب السراء والرفق بالدواب ومراعاة مصلحتها وجواز الإرداف على الدابة إذا كانت تطيق ذلك وأمر من قصر في حقها بالقيام بحقها. Very lengthy heading Imam Nawawi rahimullah has brought in the next chapter. The heading mentioned certain important sunnah, especially we find our ijtima is taking place, jamaats are going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Obviously this going out in the path of Allah involves safar, journey. So as far as possible, we find that previously there was a lot of ihtimam on it. Now recently, unfortunately, this ihtimam is slowly coming out, where actually baqaida, before the Jamaat undertakes the journey, muzakara is to take place of all the various sunnah, adab and etiquettes. So we are learning this directly from the hadith. What our akabirin and elders over the years have been telling us are the adab and etiquettes of safar and journey. So whatever we are listening to, we should try to practice upon it and give da'wat of it, speak about it, bring as much sunnah in our lives as possible. We find that the heading Imam Nawawi brings, he mentions all the various etiquettes and thereafter the ahadith from which these etiquettes are extracted. So the heading itself, the chapter which deals with the etiquettes of traveling, reaching your destination, in other words, pausing during the journey, how you should spend the night, the etiquette or the sunnah of sleeping, resting on a journey, the fact that it is not just permissible, but preferable, that some section of your traveling should be at night, the importance of being kind, showing kindness and compassion to the animals which you are using. Those days, obviously, they used to travel on horse or mule or donkey or camel. In fact, nowadays also, many parts of the world, that type of traveling is still taking place. Importance of showing kindness to the animal, not ill-treating it, etc. Even this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. This was part of his akhlaq, his character, and the culture of Islam. And the importance of seeing to the need of the animals, the permissibility of sharing one animal, in other words, more than one person riding an animal at one time, if the animal has the ability, and you are not unnecessarily taxing the animal or being cruel towards it. And this chapter also deals with the importance of encouraging someone who is negligent in seeing to the rights of animals, etc., encouraging them that don't do what you are doing, be kind towards an animal. So quite a few aspects Imam Nawawi rahimahullah touches upon in his heading. The first hadith, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Now, in this hadith, what is dealt with is when you are traveling, particularly like I said, in a desert climate, there are certain places where vegetation is easily accessible. In other words, crops, grass, etc. is growing. Then there will be other sections, obviously desert, where it will be barren, there won't be water, there won't be any form of vegetation. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا سَافَرْتُمْ فِي الْخِسْبِ, when you are traveling in an area which is green, فَآتُ الْإِبِلْ خَضَّهَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, give the camel its share or its right from the earth. In other words, don't travel fast, travel slowly, let the animal graze also whilst you are traveling. We see the compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even down to this extent, how you must treat the animal, that also Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. وَإِذَا سَافَرْتُمْ فِي الْجَدَبْ, if you are traveling in ground which is very, very dry, in other words, khisp is grassland, jadab is where it is barren, فَأَسْرِيُوا عَلَيْهَا السَّيْرِ, then go quickly, don't delay. وَبَادِرُوا بِهَا نِقْيَهَا, وَإِذَا, and try to reach your destination as quickly as possible so that you don't unnecessarily tire the animal. Because it is dry, it's barren, that poor animal is getting hungry, you're going to waste time and tarry, etc., then obviously you're causing unnecessary taklif to the animal. وَإِذَا عَرَّسْتُمْ, and when you pause for the night, in other words, you are resting at night, camping at night, فَأَجْتَنِبُ الطَّرِيقِ, then avoid the main road. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تُرُقُ الدَّوَابِ وَمَأْوَى الْهَوَامِ بِاللَّيْلِ, because animals and sometimes dangerous insects, etc., the main road, they take refuge there at night. So even this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. If you are camping for a night, don't go and camp on the main tarafe. One is you're going to cause taklif, you're going to be blocking the road, etc. Animals also, we find that up till nowadays also, when you're traveling on the roads late at night, you are cautioned, be careful about the main roads, the main highways, because what happens is that animals find that section of the ground to be cooler at night compared to other sections, so they come onto the main road. If you are not going to be cognizant of them, unnecessarily you're going to harm yourself and you're going to harm them. Shall we continue this morning?